I will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. Little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon sponsor for the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, check out the link below, or you can go to our official website, bodybuildinglegendsshow.com, and you'll see the link to becoming a Patreon sponsor in the upper right-hand corner. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Arnold Classic. The big Arnold Classic just took place this last weekend. It's just wrapping up today. It's Sunday as I'm doing this podcast. And it was a fantastic event. I was not able to go out there this year, which I really regret now. I really wish I would have been there because it was just a fantastic show. But they had it on a streaming service for free this year. You didn't even have to pay for it. So it was really, really an amazing event. I am just so in awe of Arnold and all he does for bodybuilding and how he continues to promote the sport and the energy he brings to it, the motivation. It was really, really an amazing show. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute. On the show today, we don't have any guests. So I went back to the magazines again for the show and thought we could talk about some old Arnold Classic competitions. So I dug up some old magazine articles from 1990. 1991 and 1993. So those were the two competitions won by Sean Ray. And then he lost. The one competition was taken away from him in 1990 because he failed the drug test. That was the only year that the IFBB instituted drug testing for their main competition. So Mike Ashley actually won that contest. And then Sean won it in 1991. And then Flex Wheeler won it in 1993. We just kind of discussed that contest a couple of weeks ago when we did our year in review with Jerry Branham, where we talked about the year 1993. So I thought I would read those three articles. One of them comes from, or actually two of them come from Ironman magazine. And then the other one was from Muscle Mag International. And then I have an article, an old article here about Arnold. And unlike the other ones I usually read, this is not from Muscle Builder. This is from Muscular Development from July 1993. And it was written by the late Don Ross. Don Ross was a great bodybuilder and also a great writer. He wrote for Muscular Development magazine. So he did a two-part interview with Arnold about the evolution of bodybuilding. So I thought it'd be interesting to read that now, 30 years later. So this is actually part two of the article, but I thought we could read this one as well after we get done with the contest reports and kind of see how the sport has changed and what Arnold's views were 30 years ago. That should be pretty interesting. All right. So anyways, the Arnold Classic this weekend, great competition. As I said, Hadi Chupin, who was the 2022 Mr. Olympia winner, took second place last year to Derek Lunsford. Hadi came into his first Arnold Classic and he won and he looked absolutely spectacular, totally ripped and shredded, better than he looked at the Olympia last year. And he beat out Samson Dauda. So it was favored to be a two-man race with those two competitors. And Samson looked fantastic, huge, huge bodybuilder, big, great shape, great symmetry, has everything going for him. He just cannot seem to bring that hardness that Hadi has. So Samson took a disappointing second place. Samson was the winner last year. So a very, very great contest. I think they had about 10 competitors, I believe. Some of the guys were a little out of shape, but overall, just a really fantastic weekend, a great competition. I watched the whole thing. I watched it on Friday and Saturday. And then they had the seminar today. So it was actually a three-day show. Plus, they had Strongman, a lot of other events going on, seminars, the huge expo. So just a really, really great event. It looks like the Arnold Classic is back to where it was before COVID. It was really, really packed. I couldn't believe the crowds. So it looked like a fantastic time. And Wesley Vissers, I want to mention, Wesley Vissers won the classic physique, and he beat out Ramon Dino, who was last year's winner. So another repeating champ got beat this year. Ramon took second to Chris Bumstead at the Olympia last year, so he was the heavy favorite going in. And Wesley has been one of those guys that's been doing this for many years, great physique. He's got a huge fan base, a big social media following. He's a really tall guy. He's about 6'3". He's from Dutch. They call him the Dutch Oak, like the Austrian Oak, because he looks a lot like Arnold. Got that square jaw, that classic physique. Does a lot of Arnold poses, a lot of Arnold arm poses, and he's always, I thought, always had a great physique, but he's really always pushing himself and improving every year. So you got to hand it to the guy. He's been so consistent, and it's great to see someone like this win, someone who's really got the heart for the sport, really believes in the golden age of bodybuilding, really admires Arnold. This was like his dream come true, meeting Arnold and getting the trophy from Arnold this weekend. So what a great victory for Wesley Vissers. And he seems like such a nice, well-rounded, articulate man, very modest, really has his heart in the sport, like I said. So great victory for him. It was so great to see him win. Fantastic, fantastic weekend. A lot of fun watching that show this weekend. And then they had the seminar today, which was really long. I think it started at 9:30. It didn't end until almost 1 o'clock. Arnold didn't come in for about 2 hours, but they had Lee Haney up there. They had Jay Cutler, who also won the Lifetime Achievement Award last night on Saturday this weekend. So that was great to see. Jay gave a great speech. They had Phil Heath, Ronnie Coleman. Then they had Hadi Chupin and Wesley Vissers up there as well. I think I'm remembering everybody. They also had Hani Rambod, who was Hadi's coach. He was up there as well. So it was really, really great panel. They had a lot of great discussions, a lot of great questions from Bob Ciccariello. And then Arnold showed up, and Arnold is always great. He's always so motivating. Every year I watch that seminar, I think it's the highlight of the whole weekend. And it's just, Arnold always tells stories. He always tells new stories I never heard, which is really amazing. You know, his memory is unbelievable. But yeah, just a great, great weekend. I'm always so motivated and so excited after seeing this competition. I know it's not the golden age of bodybuilding as we celebrate on this website, but with Arnold, you know, you gotta watch it. It's just such a great show, and it's so well produced. And then at the end of the competition last night, after Hadi was given his award, Arnold announced that the prize money is going up from $300,000 for first prize to $500,000, $500,000 next year, which is going to be more than the Mr. Olympia, which gives $400,000. So, wow, that was fantastic news. Everybody was really excited to hear that. So bodybuilding is just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it was very, very exciting. So yeah, I wish I would have been there. I'll try to definitely make it next year. I've got some more exciting news. We've been watching Pumping Iron, right, since 1977 when that movie came out. And Arnold has all the footage from Pumping Iron. I think there was over 100 hours shot, and the movie itself was only 85 minutes. So now they are starting to release all these unseen clips on social media. It's amazing. There are a couple websites up on Instagram. If you guys are on Instagram, one is called Arnold Rare Picks, and they're posting like less than a minute videos of Arnold training at Gold's Gym. And this is when he was training in preparation for the 1975 Mr. Olympia. So this was all footage that was shot for the movie Pumping Iron. And of course, they couldn't use it all. And some of these clips don't really belong in the movie, but it's just amazing to see. You know, for those of us who are bodybuilding fans and who have never seen this stuff has been laying around since 1975, and now they're finally releasing it. It's just unbelievable. A friend of mine, Paul Glower, he has an Instagram page called Glower Golden Era Bodybuilding Fan. There's some clips on there from Paul as well, so you can check out his Instagram page. And then Bill Grant just is posting a couple weeks ago. They had a long clip, I think it was like 6 minutes long, of the night before, or it was the night of the Olympia, right before they went to the night shows. Bill and Arnold and Franco and Mike Katz all in the same room, hotel room, talking. That was just golden, golden stuff. And he just released another one where they're all out eating lunch together, all the bodybuilders together. And they were talking about like a union. So great stuff. I mean, if you're a bodybuilding fan, a Pumping Iron fan, this is like golden stuff. It would be like if you're a fan of the Beatles and then they release a song that they made in 1963 or something. You know, it's just unbelievable. It's just so really cool stuff. Oh, and then there was another one where they were at the prison where Arnold posed, but this was a long, had to be like a 10-minute clip of Arnold and Franco. Ed Corney was there, which I didn't realize. Frank Zane was there, and they were all talking to the convicts. They were just in the yard, just talking to these guys. And the camera's just moving around, you know, picking up these conversations. It was unbelievable stuff. So, yeah, if you get my newsletter, all my Patreon subscribers get a newsletter that I put out each week. and I talked about it, and I included some clips on that newsletter last week. Yeah, I wanted to share it with all of you guys, though. Unbelievable. So check out these Instagram pages, and you'll be able to try and pick up some more. I'm trying to catch as many of them as I can, because this is really like golden, golden stuff for all of us bodybuilding fans. Next week, I will be out in Sterling, Massachusetts at Guaranteed Fitness Center. This will be my fourth time going out there, I believe. Gym owner Bruce is bringing me back out there for a seminar, and he's going to have Lee Haney, 8-time Mr. Olympia, and Linda Murray, 8-time Miss Olympia, there as well. So it's going to be a really great weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. And we are going to be doing a hands-on training seminar. So if you are in the area in Sterling, Massachusetts, please stop by. Bruce said he's going to try and find some way to tape it. I don't know if it'll be online. I don't think it's going to be live or anything, but they're going to record it. Maybe they'll put it up later. But yeah, if you're in the Massachusetts area and you want to drive over, I think it's $49 for the day. The seminar starts at 10 a.m. So come by to Guaranteed Fitness. Their website is guaranteedfitness.org if you want to check it out, or you can just probably Google them and find their number and call them up. Bruce is the owner of the gym, and we will be doing that next Saturday on March 9th. And then my birthday is next weekend, so we're going to be celebrating my birthday that weekend too. So that's going to be really, really great. What else is going on? I got new video I'm working on. This is our 1983 in review that I did with Jerry a couple weeks ago. As you know, when I put these videos up on YouTube, I add a lot of pictures, I add a lot of video clips, so it takes quite a long time, probably like a week of editing, but I'm almost done with it. It should be done by the time you hear this podcast, so check that out on my YouTube page, John Hansen. This will be the 1983 in review. Is this part two, I think? Yeah, I believe it's part two. Yes, it is, because we did part one with the Nationals, and so this one we talk about the IFBB universe, and then we talk about the Night of the Champions, won by Lee Haney. And then we talk about the IFBB Pro World, won by Muhammad Mokawe. And then we finish off talking about the 1983 Mr. Olympia contest, won by Samir Banoot. So yeah, check that out on my YouTube page. You guys will really enjoy seeing that. All right. Anything else? No, I think that's about it. We didn't get any emails this week from last week's show, so I don't have any emails from you guys. If you guys want to send me any emails, of course, just send them to naturalolympia@gmail.com, as you always do. All right, let's go over some of these articles. I wanted to read some of these articles for you guys in celebration of the Arnold Classic, which took place this weekend. I thought I could go back into the magazine archives and read a couple contest reports from some old Arnold Classics. So this one comes from the June 1990 issue of Iron Man, and this covers which was the second annual Arnold Classic. The first one was won by Rich Gaspari. So this was the second one, and as I mentioned, they started drug testing this year. This was the very first contest they drug tested. So it was not without its screw-ups. When they did the test, they didn't get the results back for like a week later, and then they found out that the winner of the contest, Sean Ray, actually failed the test. So Sean had to give back the money, which I believe was $60,000. I believe that's what it was. It's a lot of money for back then. And he also had to give back the Arnold Classic trophy. So we got the report here. And of course, this is before the news broke that Sean failed. This was just the contest report. And it says, class at the Classic, Ashley and Gravel pump up Columbus. Oh, it says Ashley. Okay, so they must have gotten the news then. All right, let me read the article. This is written by Steve Holman. It says, the rumors ran rampant prior to the 90 Arnold Classic held March 3rd in Columbus, Ohio. First, there was the one that Arnold only had four competitors because of the drug testing, you know. Sorry, rumor mongers, there were 13 men. And speaking of drug testing, the rumor that the tests were bogus was buzzing all over the place weeks before the contest. But logical minds knew better. Think about it. If verification of this rumor ever surfaced, pro bodybuilding would be one big laughingstock, and there's no way in hell Ben Weider or Arnold would chance having all they've worked for go down the toilet. The tests were real, no doubt about it, with two women and four men, including apparent winner Sean Ray, failing. Others who received Fs on their tests were Samir Banoot, who was in fifth place before the disqualification, Nimrod King, who was in eighth before the disqualification, and Ralph Mueller, who was in 12th before the disqualification in the men's contest, and Krista Bach, fourth before the disqualification, and Kim King, seventh before the disqualification in the Miss International. The road to this first tested men's pro contest has been a rough one, but at least pro bodybuilding is finally coming clean thanks to Ben Weider, Arnold, and a host of others. As for Sean Ray, he was in his best condition since his win at the 87 Nationals and the Ironman Invitational the week before. And all the predictions about his pro bodybuilding domination seemed to be back on track until the test results returned from the lab, that is. Sean won the show in front of the packed house in Columbus, but in the end, he was forced to forfeit the victory to Michael Ashley. Ashley undoubtedly deserves the victory. He came to play hardball just like the week before at the Ironman Invitational, having done miraculous things to his natural from birth physique. He was ripped with every muscle group retaining its fullness. Ashley always said that once testing was established in the pros, he'd be ahead of the game. Looks like he was right. The Iron Warrior Mike Christian landed in second position with slightly less mass than usual, but what a great routine. Yes, Mike, it was great, not just good this time around. True, his physique was a bit smaller and his legs didn't have the deep cuts his fans are used to, but he definitely deserved to be in the fight. The third position was taken with an explosion of striations by Germany's Andreas Munzer. When this guy flexes, his muscles look like they've been pawed by a grizzly. Munzer's thigh shot almost blinded the first two rows. And what a set of carved triceps. Once he improves his stage posture and presence, look out. Robbie Robinson managed fourth place. This night, Robbie's physique was a bit off, but still looked pretty darn good, especially when he hit his trademark double bicep shot. As usual, everything flowed so well when his arms came up and his lats flared out. Now if he can just etch in a little more detail down below. The most overlooked bodybuilder of the young pro season, Steve Brisbois, took fifth, the last Olympia qualifying slot. If there was a movie made about this man's physique, the title would have to be Honey, I Shrunk Bob Paris. His symmetry and proportions are spectacular, yet he never seems to be in the hunt because of his height, 5'3". And Lucky Steve drew the number 9 spot in the lineup right next to the gigantic 6'7" Ralph Mueller. Ouch. Hang in there, Steve, and try to get on the opposite end of the stage from Mueller next time. In sixth was a refined Tony Pearson. As usual, Tony's lat spread, stomach vacuum, and overall muscle maturity wowed the audience, but the legs were a tad weak. And come on, Tony, you've got the look and the music. Let go with some more Michael Jackson moves, for gosh sakes. Consummate drug-free bodybuilder Jean-Paul Guillaume took home the seventh place position. Jean Guillaume's routine was wonderful, but unfortunately his physique was just average in Columbus. The shape was there, but the sharpness wasn't. The rumors about Chris Dickerson making a comeback were right on, probably the only rumor with any truth to it concerning this contest. For his 50th birthday, Chris decided he'd get into top shape and make a comeback bid, and he did himself proud with his eighth place finish. His classical birth of man routine was magnificent and had the crowd spellbound. And even though he didn't match his 82 Olympia condition, the man was still mesmerizing. Congratulations, Chris, for a fine showing. In ninth was Albert Beckles, a man who gets the crowd screaming no matter what his condition. This night he was off, but considering the fact that he recently had major oral surgery, Albert was brave to get on the stage at all. The crowd loved him nevertheless. Yes, Mike Ashley is certainly ahead of the game as far as drug-tested pro bodybuilding is concerned. He was a little unsure of himself going into the show, but thanks to some publication hocus pocus from John Balick, Ashley got a jolt of confidence prior to the night show. Turns out Ironman's publisher had a box of the May issue, which was printed during the week and shipped to Columbus for the show. The Ironman Invitational coverage was in that issue for all the competitors to see. That's right, the show was only 7 days earlier and it was already printed in Ironman. Ashley couldn't believe it. Most of those involved with the other bodybuilding mags couldn't either. And when he saw his tremendous condition, he grinned from ear to ear. Remember, fans, the Olympia is drug tested this year and Mike Ashley is psyched. Place your bets. And then the Miss International, 16 competitors were vying for the 90 Miss International. And once the ladies hit the stage, it was obvious the final two would be Jackie Paisley and Laura Crivell. Paisley was tight, tanned, and together, but Crivell's wicked midsection helped her pull out the victory. Crivell was soft in the lower tush, but everywhere else the crevices appeared at will. Anya Schreiner, 23, and winner of the 87 WABA World Championships, had a shot, but according to the judges, she needs to fill out muscle-wise. Her overall package was spectacular, to say the least, and even though only the winner qualified for the Miss O, Schreiner was ecstatic about her third-place victory. This West German will be a definite physique to be reckoned with in future events. Fourth was 89 Canadian champion Laura Benetti. This lady was absolutely sliced and diced, and it's hard to hide structural falls when you're in razor-sharp condition. Her lats are a bit weak and her shoulders somewhat narrow, but what a set of traps. When she hit a most muscular, even Andreas Munzer did a double take. She was striated even when she was just standing relaxed. In fifth place was another Canadian champion, Negrita Jade. Jade was somewhat smooth in the lower extremities, but her upper body was spot on. From sixth place on, the field was a soft one, but there were some obvious potential nonetheless. Sixth, Debbie McKnight, nice back separation, but the rest wasn't up to McKnight's standards. Seventh, Kathy Unger, needs more back and delt size to compensate for her wide waist, but she's got a great look. Eighth, Carol Mock, baseball biceps as usual, however softness prevailed. Nine, Marilyn Bowles from London, England. Bowles has a great lat sweep, but lacked in the cuts department. 10th, Dinah Anderson. This flexin' Texan has a great shape. Unfortunately, she was holding water in her lower body. 11th, Linda Wood Hoyt. Good overall fitness, but weak in the lats. 12th, Sharon Kennedy. Her Marilyn Monroe eyes gave her a nice stage presence, but she needed to be harder. 13th, Michelle Bradley. This Australian has a fabulous look. Watch for her on some covers soon. She'll need to add muscle, however, to compete with the top women in bodybuilding. Dorit Kearns made it through the pre-judging, but got sick before the night show and couldn't perform. All in all, the Miss International was an interesting show. One suggestion, cut it to 10 contestants. Waiting through 15 routines isn't too exciting when more than half of the women aren't near their best. As for Laura Crivell's future, she can now concentrate on the Miss Olympia, which will be held November 24th in New York. Corey, start working your abs hard. Right. That was 1990. And then this is the 1991 Arnold Classic. This comes from the June 1991 issue of Iron Man. This is written by Lonnie Teeper, the Swami. And it says, just desserts. Ray and Knight forget the past and make 91 Classic a blast. Columbus, Ohio. You'll have to excuse Sean Ray and Tanya Knight if the tune Memories didn't rank very high on their priority list as the two approach Veterans Memorial Auditorium on the morning of Saturday, March 2nd. Nothing personal against the venue, mind you, but it was 2 years ago in Columbus when Ray, pleading a pinched nerve that knocked him out of the first annual Arnold Classic, received a year's suspension, knocking him out of the 89 Mr. Olympia in Rimini, Italy. And of course, who can forget the big win turned bigger disappointment last season when Ray, after a victory at the contest, had to forfeit the 60 grand when the results of the drug test came back. In Knight's scenario, she was coming off a fourth place finish at the 88 Miss Olympia and flew out of Columbus 3 months later with the Miss International trophy in her hands. Months later, an inquiry revealed some hanky-panky with her drug test for the Olympia, and Tanya had to forfeit not only her Miss Olympia placing, but the gold medal from Columbus as well. And she received a 2-year suspension on top of that. Sean and Tanya both returned to the scene of the crime in 1991 and proved that the past is the past and the future is theirs for the taking. Sugar Sean, showing up at 197 pounds of chiseled full muscle, didn't make things too tough on the judging panel as he ran off with a unanimous victory, not to mention a $70,000 check. Tight Knight didn't have quite as easy a time as Ray did, but she presented a hard body and a posing routine that had the full house roaring and that propelled her to a narrow 2-point win over Germany's Anya Schreiner. Schreiner held a 1-point lead going into the finals, but after Tanya's rousing exhibition, it literally became the Knight Show, a $15,000 Knight Show at that. Oh, I guess that's it. I was looking for more copy, but I guess that was it. So the rest is just photos. All right, that was short. All right, let's go to the 93 Arnold Classic, and this comes from Muscle Mag, Muscle Mag International, and this is the July 1993 issue. You could see it always took like 3 or 4 months for these magazines to report on the contest, which is crazy when you think about it now, right? So it says, fifth annual Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic flexes classic win, the freak show in Columbus, report by Johnny Fitness. On rare occasions, it happens in all sports. 8 years ago, in a boxing ring, it was Tyson. Last year, in a Formula One racing cockpit, it was Schumacher. They come from nowhere, and suddenly they are right in your face. Theirs is no ordinary world. They disobey time-honored laws of ascension. They take joy in trashing unbreakable rules that insist on skills being honed over time with great care for true excellence to be achieved. These are men to be envied. They break our rules, and we love them for it. The sperm of their forebears rolled them a double six and gave Darwin something to study, genetics. What am I talking about? Come with me to Columbus and find out. The event is the fifth annual Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic. The place is the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Columbus, Ohio. The date is March 6th. Before us is a bright, well-lit stage. On the stage, there are 16 of bodybuilding's best-built men. The skin on their rounded delts fills the entire width of the apron from one side to the other. The whole thing is a spectacle of dancing reflections as a thousand shards of light glint and sparkle. The warm oil in which their bodies are bathed throws back the megawatts of power which bombard them from the banks of light surrounding the stage. Let your eyes swing shoulder to shoulder from first to last across 32 poised and proffered pecs. On the one hand, there are the established of the muscle contest scene, Labrada, Benfato, Munzer, Benute, Ashley, Schmidt, Pastel, Albrecht, Marsh, and Love. Those who represent the bedrock of bodybuilding as we knew it, as we know it, and as we expect it to be. On the other hand are the young men, the hotshots who are always pressing, heel-snapping young bloods out to worry the pillars of the sport into submission. Taylor, Matarazzo, Hildebrand, and Gurley. Then there are Paul Gallette and Ken Wheeler. I often hear it said that today's world is turning too fast. Mankind's total knowledge doubles and redoubles at an alarming rate. There's not too much to hold on to or count on these days. Time was when we could second guess tomorrow. Not anymore. And our beloved sport of bodybuilding has not escaped the time warp. Change is in the air. I've attended contests for 35 years and more. I witnessed the birth of a legend when a young Austrian who was all chest and no legs came to London from Graz to win his first Mr. Universe long before he could intelligibly say thank you for his trophy in English. I've known decades when the human form, trained or untrained, remained constant. We knew what to expect. We had those with this or that great body part, and we had great all-rounders. As with most things, change in bodybuilding was slow. Then, as with most things, that slow rate of change gained momentum. Now, today, it all happens fast in the brave new world of muscle. After this contest, I will consciously steel myself against surprise long before I dare enter a contest theater. The Wonder Freaks of Columbus. I could use up a fistful of ballpoint pens running off at the wrist with superlatives to describe those lucky genetic freaks who, for me, represent the cutting edge of bodybuilding change, but space will not allow. Besides, you, the reader, would soon tire. To be zapped interminably with such verbosity is to be locked in a room, having to witness the endless seizures of a poisoned man. Yet, and here's the rub, as your eyes and ears, I must try to give you at least a taste of what I was lucky enough to gorge upon the night I met Wonder Freaks Paul Gallette and Flex Wheeler face to face. Try to imagine a well-drawn cartoon illustration of a bodybuilder. You know, the grossly overemphasized wide, wide shoulders, the undersized tiny wasp waist, humongous oversized muscle hanging from just about everywhere, the kind of caricature that we all know is fun to look at, but doesn't really exist. Well, now it does, and it goes under the name of Gallette. Gallette is huge. No, that's not enough. If every man on earth were huge enough so that huge was considered normal, then Gallette would still be huge. Silly me. I thought that my senses had been dulled to the sheer size of a man during the long hours of the classics prejudging, where I had studied his body in every angle and from every angle. But nothing prepared me for the sight of this monolith as he descended a flight of steps to the stage during his opening appearance in the evening show. Let me try setting the scene more clearly before you. The stage is dark and featureless, but for a doorway high up on the rear of the set. The portal is backlit in such a way that there is an intense bright light, the only light, which radiates through from heaven, turning the pupils of your eyes to fiery dots. High up there, anyone who steps into that doorway is instantly transformed into a godlike silhouette, if his shape is right. Give a man of great genetics the silhouette of a god first, and then put him out onto that beam of light, and you have the stuff of which fantasies are made. Believe me, the audience, everyone in every seat, and the place was full to bursting, held their breath. Dillette did not fill the doorway. The other bodybuilders did that. Dillette filled the theater and the minds of all those whose gaze he held. Through the wonders of stage magic, by stepping forward into what was here, though, the blackness of the top step of the stairway, he stepped into a light which shone on him from both above and below. What a sight! Slowly, ponderously, the vision made its way down to earth. I need not be told that I have more than a hint of theater and grease paint in my veins. In my time, I have made a very good story better when the need arose. But I kid you not, I have never seen a sight such as this before, ever. And neither had the audience, who burst into an uproar which spelled out disbelief loud and clear. Dillette is 6'1", but at that moment, and with those proportions, he might just as well have been 10'1". First, you are forced to notice the shoulders. They are so wide. As he walks, they sway gently up and down like a broomstick, balanced at midpoint on the tip of a 6-inch nail, gently moved by a soft breeze. Down those steps, the balancing act of his yard-wide clavicles is accentuated. The huge bulk and weight of his expansive upper torso and shoulders pivots on a point dead center of his chest, 3 inches below his pec line. Down these steps, a Chinese coolie with a gallon drum mounted on each end of a shoulder yoke would evoke the same mathematical formula which governs mass and movement, each dip of the hip and tilt of the shoulder in perfect counterbalance. Lovers of muscle have long had a soft spot for a blend of power and grace. When Dillette took charge of that stairway, he turned the audience into jello. But what of Flex, and what of the others? If Dillette came only fourth, what is there to say of the winners? The answer is much, but having dealt at length with Dillette, who was the outstanding theatrical vision of the evening, I can deal with the new Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic champion and the other greats in a style of a more normal contest reporting. Akeem Ulbrich, 10th. Akeem is always a favorite with the Where's the Beef crowd. He was big and powerful with dense muscle covering his whole body. Although in the past his performance on the posing platform has left something to be desired, I felt he had tried very hard for this one. Sonny Schmidt tied for 8th. Sonny told me before the show that he was bigger and harder than ever and that he felt good about his chances. He was right, or rather half right. He was bigger, but it's so hard to be hard when packing on those extra pounds. There was that great Sonny shape, but like Akeem, he was not ripped enough for this lineup. Sonny also performed nearly his entire posing display at one end of the stage, so that 3/4 of the audience could not get a good view. That was a mistake. LQ Gurley tied for 8th. LQ was full, but like Sonny and Akeem before him, in such company he was in less than super shape. His day in the sun must wait. Andreas Munzer, 7th. If I could wave a magic wand and give Andreas another inch or two of shoulder width so that all that muscle had somewhere to go, I would. The man is full to the brim with beef so evenly striated that he brought to mind visions of some stringed musical instrument as he heaved it all back and forth, popping first this and then that body part. Mike Matarazzo, 6th. Mike was harder than I've ever seen him before. He had great abs and intercostals and the best arms in the show, bar none. His mighty legs, as always, defied description. Mike pulled out all the stops, so much so that he overdid it. He was taken to a hospital at some time during the night after the show. However, the good news is that Big Mike is okay, and he was released the following morning. J.J. Marsh in 5th. J.J. was in the condition of a lifetime. Certainly, he was bigger and more cut than I've ever seen him. His legs and side chest particularly were impressive. The money for his 5th place will no doubt come in handy to help pay for his honeymoon when he gets married this June. Paul Dillette in 4th. Although young, he's 26 years old and lacking in contest experience, Paul strained the senses with his eye-popping size. New to the art of pacing himself on stage, Paul was often left in a state of near collapse from the rigors of posing. But he'll learn. He's not just all size. He also has great legs and superb overall proportion. When this man comes in razor sharp with the necessary experience to project himself fully, watch out. Vince Taylor in 3rd. Vince was big and hard, not as hard as he was at his fantastic best of last year, but hard. And he tried hard. He had ground to regain after his Olympia setback, and he bust a gut working for it. In spite of big boo-boos with his music, the last thing his jangled nerves needed when stretched to put on a 110% performance, He set the stage alight by exhibiting the grace of a dancer, the power of a bull, and the heart of a champion. Lee Labrada in second. Lee was as near to squeezing the very last drop of potential from his body as perhaps he will ever be. Lee Taylor, for all his lack of height when compared to mountainous Paul Dillette, was nevertheless able to stand beside the Canadian giant and come away the class act winner. Happy and honest with his feelings as ever, Lee smiled at being the bridesmaid yet again in a major contest and vowed to be back in better shape than ever to kick some top-class glute. Flex Wheeler in first. If Dillette and Flex were the outstanding freak duo in Columbus, then Flex was the most outstanding individually by virtue of his freaky muscularity. Every muscle on the man was so full, so rich in cells, so ready to grow, and so eager to cut up, that it half makes you want to banish him to a land where they've never heard of bodybuilding, if there is such a place. This would be one answer for us who are less genetically gifted, were it not for the fact that such a mean act would rob so many people of the thrill of seeing that much muscle in such extraordinary condition. So good was the Wheeler package that it would be hard to pick out his most outstanding body part. If pushed, however, I would have to say that the incredible array of undulating steel-hard muscle which covered his entire back, which is what won him the title. I personally hate the what if, and it can never be proven, surmising, in which many otherwise intelligent people indulge. But what if Vince comes in head to head with Flex later this year at the Olympia, when Vince is in the kind of super shape he was in at last year's Night of the Champions? And what if Lee makes good of his I'll be back Arnold line? Better still, what if Paul Dillette learns the art of crystallizing the mind to focus 100% on his contest preparation and projecting a winning attitude? Would that be a tough call, or what? All right. Johnny Fitness, what a great, well-written article. He tried to summarize how incredible Paul Dillette was, and he did the best he could, but it's hard to put that into words when you see pictures of how unbelievable Paul was, and he was such a shock to everybody in the bodybuilding world. And then they say here, they have a sub-article here. It says highlights of the show. The excitement shown by the capacity crowd, the full attendance of both the contest and the World Gym Fitness Expo, Arnold's fun-filled rapport with his audience, proving, as if he needed to be proven once again, that he is now the consummate superstar, the presentation to Arnold of an IFBB award by Ben Weider, proclaiming him to be the greatest bodybuilder of all time, Arnold's confirmation that, contrary to recent rumors, he has no intention of forming a bodybuilding federation of his own, Flex Wheeler's truly superb body. I've never seen a deeper, more muscled back. And the image of Paul Dillette's descent from the clouds to the IFBB stage. It is a vision that will perhaps outlive all others I have of the happy and very successful 93 Arnold Classic. Wow. Over 30 years ago, that was a fantastic contest. All right, to finish up the podcast today, I want to read another article here. This one is about Arnold. It's called Arnold Speaks. This is actually part two of the fitness movement and the evolution of bodybuilding. It's written by Don Ross, and it comes from the July 1993 issue of Muscular Development magazine. It says, in the last issue of MD, we began the first of a two-part article based on a recent interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the man who made all his dreams come true. As the interview continued, Arnold was very candid in answering questions concerning his involvement in a vitamin company, rumors about his forming a rival bodybuilding organization, his thoughts about Ben Weider and the IFBB, his plan to improve the health and the youth of this nation, his role in the President's Council of Physical Fitness under the Clinton administration, his plans for a worldwide restaurant chain, and his opinion on the evolution and direction of the sport of bodybuilding. First on the minds of the bodybuilding public is the current Arnold rumor that he plans to start a bodybuilding federation separate from the IFBB and MPC. Since the rumor started, several of the top names in the sport told me that they plan to participate. When I put the question to the man himself, he emphatically denied it. No truth to it at all, he declared. The number one reason, I think the IFBB is great. Not a 10, meaning it does have its faults, but it's still great. I don't believe in the philosophy, love it or leave it. I believe in love it or improve it. Arnold went on to state that he is involved with the IFBB to the degree that he will do service for the organization whenever he is asked. He is always willing to participate in brainstorming sessions to come up with new ideas to improve the sport and the organization. Past recommendations from Schwarzenegger include stricter drug rules involving testing in order to get rid of the drug problem. I cannot make them go for it, he adds, but that is my recommendation. I've recommended ways of making the shows more spectacular, to be more creative with the posing, so there is an evolution in our sport rather than always staying the same and making people turn away. I still think there's room for four major shows in the United States that sell out, that have big crowds, big titles, and money involved. I think there are a lot of places where the IFBB can grow. I really love the IFBB. There's one thing that I'm known for, and that's stability. When I'm with one person, one organization, one director, I want to stick with that person. Though that's not possible with directors, but that's just me. I like to train at the same gym, hang out at the same restaurant, and have the same friends I've had for years and years. Franco Colombo, Joe Gold, Dave Draper, Jim Lorimer, Mitz Kawashima, all the old gang. They're still my best friends. I've gone through so many steps in life, but these are still my darlings in life, my foundation and stability. I'm not a person who likes to change around too much. I'm too conservative for that. Instead, I think that there's a good chance to make the IFBB perfect. The second reason he gives for not wanting to start a federation is a lack of patience. I don't have the time anymore to deal with the bodybuilders and to listen to their complaints, to always hear, this contest was fixed and that contest was fixed. Arnold is quick to add that he still loves bodybuilding and organizing international bodybuilding championships like the Arnold Classic, but he's more than happy to let the IFBB deal with the bodybuilders, select the judges, and formulate the rules. Putting on the show is how my creativity can come in, says Arnold. I call Ben Weider and say, I'll put on the show and you handle everything on stage. The seven-time Mr. Olympia strongly feels that there is a much better way to improve the sport than whining about the results or the way the show is promoted or judged. He suggests to those who aren't satisfied to write a memo and then organize meetings to discuss how things can be done better. I always ask people who complain about the federation or about politics, what have you done lately about the federation to make it better? What have you done to improve the judging? Have you ever come up with any good ideas about how to change the judging principles or the setup of the judging? Have you ever had a brainstorming session with your buddies about how we can change the drug enforcement within the IFBB? These are real issues that we have to talk about. What have these guys who complain done other than think about themselves? How can they get more money? How can they get a better deal from Weider? It's always them. I. Schwarzenegger reminds us, the federation is a bigger cause than we are because we die, but the cause has to go on. Take the Special Olympics or the President's Council for Fitness. It's the cause that has to go on for generations and continue to promote fitness. So the cause is much bigger than any single person, and we have to go on supporting the cause. Again, he punctuated his first answer by adding, as far as the rumor about forming a separate federation, absolutely not. I have never even mentioned it, ever. Arnold laughed at the idea that anyone can conclude that with his supplement line with Albert Busack would in any way indicate a new federation. This is even more ridiculous because the IFBB in Germany is great, fantastic, refuted Arnold, shaking his head. Albert Busack runs the IFBB and does a hell of a job. Why would he take what he's worked so hard on for the last 10 years and destroy it? There is no such thing. We all remember Arnold's campaign for ex-president George Bush. Among the ironies of his fascinating life is the fact that he's married to Maria Shriver from a family of Democratic politicians. I wondered how the election of Bill Clinton would affect his position as chairman of the President's Council of Physical Fitness. With ties to both political parties, would there be any effect at all? I'm as active as I ever was, he replied. The only thing is Clinton may choose someone else as chairman. That could easily be 5 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. He has that privilege and right because the people voted for change. He's already changed the whole cabinet, and soon we'll look at the councils. There's a lot of different councils. There's a council for environment, for economics, for fitness. He'll look at the whole thing and we'll say, here I want changes and here I don't. If he changes, my commitment to fitness never changes. I will still work with the council, although someone else may be chairman. I will still work with the council because I'm not a baby about it. I understand that's the way it works, and that's the way it should work. That's politics. Among the projects Arnold began and intends to follow through with are three fitness books for children called Train with Arnold. He will continue his work with USA Network to bring out free videotapes for children who can't afford videos. These free exercise books and videos will be distributed all over the country, and will be available to all schools, especially the inner city. The big problem with this country, declares the Oak, has been that those who could not afford videos and books and memberships to gymnasiums have been left out of the fitness movement. All the inner city kids, the poor children, many of the Black kids, the Mexicans, the Native Americans, all have been left out of the fitness movement of the 80s and early 90s. What has to be done is to provide things for them free. So through Doubleday, I have established three books published for children, From Birth Through Five, From 6 Through 10, and 11 Through 14, that will be sold in the bookstores. My royalties all go back into the fitness movement. I don't keep a dollar of that because I'd rather support the California Council on Fitness and the President's Council on Fitness financially, and also give my royalties back to Doubleday so they can publish more books and send them back to all the schools for free. Among his philanthropic contributions is a weekly exercise column in USA Weekend. The purpose, he states, is to offer to anyone who has a newspaper advice about exercise for free. This is the beginning of a multimedia information giveaway to get the nation on the right track, the road to fitness and health. While the Mr. Olympia has long maintained the reputation as the mountaintop of bodybuilding competition, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic and Miss International are considered just as important by fans and competitors alike. I asked Arnold about his contest and about the possibility of Lee Haney competing in next year's contest. Haney is always welcome to compete, he replied, but I don't count on it because bodybuilders often plan to compete, but things come up in their lives and they fall out or change their minds. Over the years, we have slowly and carefully built a huge stable of the top bodybuilders coming to our competition from all over the world. Each year, more of the top men and women want to be part of it. It literally has become, along with the Olympia, the biggest competition of the year. Arnold attributes the success of these contests to the large prizes and the special, respectful treatment they receive. We give them the best hotel rooms, the best food. We fly them all in. I think because of this treatment, the victory party that we always have and the great seminars, these men and women, contestants and spectators will always come back. From the sellout, standing room only crowds they draw, Schwarzenegger and his partner, Jim Lorimer, have certainly discovered the key to creating an exciting and popular show. To run a good show, you need the bodybuilding competitors, the spectators, the sponsors, and the advertisers. You need the IFBB and Ben Weider, who's doing such a great job promoting it. With this package, we cater to all of those elements. Because of doing that well, the contest is growing and growing and growing. Along with the show, they hold the annual World Gym Convention and Fitness Expo. This year was the first time they sold booth space. The original goal was to match the largest expo held in conjunction with the physique contest, the WBF show, where 64 booths were provided. Most of them were sold, but some were given away. Schwarzenegger and Lorimer, working under the assumption that 60 were sold, set their goal at that number. The instant this was announced, the 60 booths sold, then 100 booths, then 150. "We had to move to a bigger hall," exclaimed Arnold with a broad smile. Jim Lorimer called up screaming, "This is the biggest problem we've had, and the most pleasant problem." We ended up with over 200 booth spaces. Those were all rented out. None were given away. Every smart business person in the industry realized the importance of being part of the great Arnold Schwarzenegger event, and they all want to jump on the bandwagon. They all want to be part of a winner. Schwarzenegger had some interesting comments about the bodybuilding scene today compared to his days of competition. "When I look back, I always thought that Grimmick, Park, Reeves, Bill Pearl, and all those guys were the beginning of bodybuilding, the pioneers. But now, looking back to our day, I feel like we belong to the pioneers because there really was nothing around. There wasn't much growth from the 50s to the 70s. When I competed in the 70s, contests were still held in scroungy little halls and little places like the Brooklyn Academy of Music. It was a great atmosphere, but it was really for the bodybuilding fanatics. The general public hadn't the foggiest idea of what was going on. Only toward the end, when I stopped competing, through the great book Pumping Iron by Charles Gaines and George Butler, and through the movie Pumping Iron, it was finally put out there for the average person. Since then, it has revolutionized so tremendously that you cannot see a commercial today without incredibly muscular bodies featured. We see home equipment advertised by guys with muscles. We see muscles in music videos. When I switch channels, I see one exercise program after another with these muscular guys talking extremely well. Men and women bodybuilders in casual conversation explaining exercises so articulately. What a great inspiration to turn on the television at any time and see bodybuilders." Arnold went on to state that the large number of exercise shows featuring bodybuilders, the respect they're given whenever they appear, and the fact that they are provided with great time slots with good viewership is proof that bodybuilding has finally become part of our society. You see so many bodybuilders and bodybuilding contests on TV. We have so many muscular characters around, the ads and everyone, athletes, actors, training. When you look at the competition today, seeing 5,000 people in the audience is no longer a big surprise. There's still far to go, but bodybuilding has made tremendous steps forward, and I'm so proud. The world's greatest bodybuilder admits that he's still a fan of the sport. He tells us that like a little kid, he still finds himself cutting out newspaper clippings or advertisings that feature bodybuilders. He loves seeing bodybuilding finally achieving status and expresses pride in the fact that it has come this far. The trick is to continue on with this progress, Ed Schwarzenegger. The new guys have to get involved in brainstorming sessions and keep new ideas coming so evolution continues and it keeps growing until it reaches the level of other sports. Along with promoting his popular event, another major project is Arnold's Restaurants. Every bodybuilder and Arnold fan in the Los Angeles area has had a delicious lunch or dinner at his Shotzi's on Main restaurant down the street from World's Gym. But even more famous are his Planet Hollywood restaurants. The first one opened in New York with other top action stars Sylvester Stallone and Bruce Willis as co-investors. To date, there are two more, one in Mexico and one in Los Angeles. Within the next year, Arnold plans to open an additional 10. London opens in April, Spain in March, and then Chicago and Las Vegas. My first question about these restaurants was, of course, if you can get bodybuilding food there. Sure, was his immediate reply. When I go there, the food is so divine, it's unbelievable. You can eat so much protein, you can't walk out of there. That's for sure. What's next for the man who's done just about everything? More of the same, Arnold assures us, and then still more. He will continue doing great movies, searching for scripts that will appeal to people all over the world, not just in America or Germany. The Last Action Hero is the first film that Arnold got credit for producing, since he, with the help of others, put the whole movie together. He thoroughly enjoyed his new role in film production, and he plans to continue both producing and directing, working toward becoming the best at those skills. Plans for the future include expansion of the Planet Hollywood restaurants. Of course, he will continue promoting fitness and bodybuilding. Perhaps most of all, he looks forward to raising his children and enjoying his family. My energy goes in all different directions, and I want to continue doing that as long as it brings me joy, explains the media giant. There may be a day when acting, directing, and producing don't bring me joy anymore. I may do something else. But right now, this brings me tremendous joy. My life is so exciting. Every day, every month, it's something different. Could you imagine one time you're directing a movie and then you're acting in one, and at the same time you're writing three fitness books, then you're planning a promotion tour for the fitness books? At the same time, you're trying to coordinate the promotion tour for the fitness books with the promotion tour for your movie. Then you make plans to set up this movie for screenings at cons, where the press corps from all over the world sees it and goes home to publicize it across those countries. My mind is involved in all those different things. My future plans are to work hard on them and perfect them all. At the same time, keep promoting bodybuilding shows and making World Gym grow and get bigger and better. After the interview, I followed Arnold to the lower floor of the Hyatt, where he showed me the three rooms crowded with excellent equipment. He proceeded at once to the lat machine, where he began his workout. Seems appropriate to leave Arnold in the performance of that commitment he shares with the world, a relentless commitment to physical fitness and personal excellence. Wow, good article by Don Ross, Don the Ripper Ross. Arnold's still doing the same things over 30 years later. It's amazing. The Arnold Classic, of course, has grown. It's interesting to note in that article how they just started the expo and they had 200 booths. Of course, now I think they have over 700 booths, and it's just a huge event. And of course, the big change with the bodybuilding organization was not the drug testing as they were predicting back then, but the expansion of more classes. And so now we have a lot more people involved, of course, in the sport of bodybuilding. We have figure, we have fitness, and in addition to women's and men's bodybuilding, we have bikini, we have men's physique, we have men's classic physique, wellness. So they've got probably like 10 different divisions now that people can compete in. And the competition scene is just huge. There's more contests than ever. And so that was a great idea to expand bodybuilding to add more divisions. And now it's bigger than ever. So amazing how Arnold keeps going forward, and watching that seminar today and watching the show over the weekend, it's just amazing how many people he's motivated. So many. There were so many young competitors who won the shows this weekend that were just tongue-tied when they came to talk to him. They weren't even around. Of course, they weren't even born when Arnold was competing, but they still know him as this great inspiration. He is definitely the king of bodybuilding, and people respect him for him. And of course, all those other champions on stage with him today, from Lee Haney to Jay Cutler and Ronnie Coleman, Phil Heath, they all respect him also as the king. So amazing, amazing life Arnold has had. So we're thankful to him for him still being here and still doing so much for the sport. All right, guys, that's it. That's our tribute to the Arnold Classic this week. I hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week with another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Until then, stay safe, train hard, and take care.